ஓம் பத்ரம் கர்ணேபிஃ ஶ்ருணுயாம தேவாஃ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஃ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஃ ஸ்துஷ்டுவாகும்ஸஸ்தனுபிஃ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓகே, we have to start today முண்டகோபனிஷதி திருத்தீய முண்டகே த்விதீயஹா கண்டஹ. சவேதைதத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம தாம யத்ர விஸ்வம் நிஹிதம் பாதி சுப்ரம் உபாசதே புருஷம் ஏஹ்ய காமாஹ தே சுக்ரமேதத் அதிவர்த்தந்தி தீராஹ. சவேதைதத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம தாம சவேதைதத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம தாம யத்ர விஸ்வம் நிஹிதம் பாதி சுப்ரம் யத்ர விஸ்வம் நிஹிதம் பாதி சுப்ரம் உபாசதே புருஷம் ஏஹ்ய காமாஹ உபாசதே புருஷம் ஏஹ்ய காமாஹ தே சுக்ரமே தததிவர்த்தந்தி தீராஹ. காமான்யஹ் காமயதே மன்யமானஹ ஸ காமபிர்ஜாயதே தத்ர தத்ர பர்யாப்த காமஸ்ய க்ருதாத்மனஸ்து இஹைவ ஸர்வே ப்ரவிலீயந்தி காமாஹ நாயமாத்மா ப்ரவசனேன லப்யஹ நமேதயான பஹுனா ஸ்ருதேன யமேவைஷ வ்ருணுதே தேன லப்யஹ தஸ்யைஷ ஆத்மா விவ்ருணுதே தனோம் ஸ்வாம் நாயமாத்மா பலஹீனேன லப்யஹ நச ப்ரமாதா தபஸோ வாப்யலிங்காத் ஏதைருபாயைர் யததே யஸ்து வித்வான் தஸ்யைஷ ஆத்மா விஷதே ப்ரஹ்ம தாம சம்ப்ராப்யைனம் ருஷயோ ஞான த்ருப்தாஹ க்ருதாத்மானோ வீதராகாஹ ப்ரஶாந்தாஹ தே சர்வகம் சர்வதஃ ப்ராப்ய தீராஹ யுக்தாத்மானஸ் சர்வமேவாவிஷந்தி. வேதாந்த விஜ்ஞான சுநிச்சிதார்த்தாஹ சந்நியாஸ யோகா யதய சுத்த சத்வாஹ தே ப்ரஹ்ம லோகே லோகேஷு பராந்த காலே பராமிருதா பரிமுச்சந்தி சர்வே கதா கலா பஞ்சதஷ பிரதிஷ்டாஹ தேவாஸ்ச சர்வே ப்ரதிதேவதாசு கர்மாணி விஜ்ஞானமயஸ்ச ஆத்மா பரே வ்யயே சர்வே ஏகீ பவந்தி. Okay, I'm going to repeat the first mantra and we'll start unfolding it. Savedaitat paramam brahma dhama Savedaitat paramam brahma dhama Yatra visvam nihitam bhati shubhram யத்ர விஸ்வம் நிஹிதம் பாதி சுப்ரம் உபாசதே புருஷம் ஏஹ்ய காமாஹ தே சுக்ரமே தததிவர்த்தந்தி தீராஹ. Again reading. சவேதைதத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம தாம யத்ர விஸ்வம் நிஹிதம் பாதி சுப்ரம் உபாசதே புருஷம் ஏஹ்ய காமாஹ தே சுக்ரமே தததிவர்த்தந்தி தீராஹ. how you should break it? Saha Veda. Saha Veda. Yetat param paramam brahma. Saha Veda. Yetat paramam brahma. Dhamma. Yatra vishvam nihitam bhati shubhram. Upasate purusham. Yehi akamaha. Te shukram etat. Etad ativartanti dhiraha. So, in this, the concluding mantra of the previous section and the first mantra of this section. So, concluding mantra of the previous section and the first mantra of this section. These two mantras must be read together. Which one? Yam yam lokam manasasam vibhati vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kaman tasmad atmajyam hyarchayet bhuti kamaha savedaitat paramam brahma dhama yatra vishvam nihitam bhati shubhram upasate purusham yehya kamah te shukrame tadativartanti dhirah. So, even though concluding mantra, separate mantra, still to enjoy complete meaning, it's better to read the concluding mantra of the previous section and the first mantra of this second section of third Mundaka. If we read them together, then we'll get the complete, we'll get better understanding. What does Upanishad say in these two mantras together? Already we know a jnani is as great as Ishvara. Bowing to jnani also, we can, just as we go and pray and invoke the grace of Bhagavan for accomplishing arthakamas, we can also, by the grace of a jnani also, we can enjoy arthakamas in life. We can have jnani's blessings that we already understood. So what Upanishad says, that the wise person, Atmajnaha means a wise person, the one who knows the Atma, a jnani. Jnani, I mean, we can worship a jnani. We all can worship a jnani. First it was said, for accomplishing material benefits in this world. Just as we can worship Bhagavan, invoke the grace of Bhagavan for accomplishing material ends, we can also worship a jnani for material benefits. Now, and the same jnani whom we can worship for accomplishing, for having the, by invoking the grace of a jnani, we can accomplish not only material benefits, we can also worship a jnani for our spiritual progress and spiritual benefit. So not only for artha kamas we can bow to a jnani, we can also bow to a jnani for dharma moksha. If we bow to a jnani, nothing wrong. We can bow to a jnani and invoke his grace, pray for time bound ends, artha kamas. Then it becomes sakama bhaktihi. If we also seek the grace of Mahatma for our mental purification, mental steadiness, for strength to live a life of dharma, for accomplishment of, for clear understanding of the shastram, and for the attainment of jnanam and moksha, then that invocation becomes a nishkama bhaktihi. Anyway, for both purposes, we can invoke the grace of a jnani. Just as we invoke the grace of Bhagavan by worshipping, by praying, we can also worship a Jnani and invoke his grace for fulfilling our all forms of ends, all four Purusharthas. So now in this first mantra of this second section of the third mantra, in this first mantra here, a devotee who invokes the grace of a Mahatma, who bows to Mahatma, worships Mahatma, aspiring for jnanam and moksha, for spiritual progress, otherwise said to be Nishkama Bhaktaha, is discussed in this mantra. I'm repeating. A devotee who bows to a jnani, worships a jnani, aspiring for jnanam and moksha, for his spiritual progress, is discussed in this mantra. And such a person who seeks the grace of blessings of a jnani for his spiritual progress is also said to be Nishkama Bhaktaha. And such a devotee, in fact, some people go to Mahatmas. They do go and tell Swami, you know, I know many people used to come to Swamiji's and say, please bless my daughter, she has to get married. Please bless me. Nothing wrong. We seek the grace of elders for everything. He has to get a job, he has to get well. Please bless them. Nothing wrong. We can seek such, we can pray to Mahatmas for such blessings also. And there are people who are not interested at all in any, who are completely dispassionate. They're no more interested in Arthakama Dharmas. They're only interested in Jnanam, and who seek, because they're highly dispassionate people, mature people. And such people, when they go and fall at the feet of Mahatmas, what will they ask? So please bless me with the Jnanam. Please bless me with the clear understanding of the Shastram. This is what they can ask. So the people who are mature, who have understood the limitations of Arthakama Dharmas, who have grown out of desire for Arthakama Dharmas, who are dispassionate towards time-bound, worldly, material ends. Okay, such people also invoke the grace of a Jnani. So, what it is said here. Upasate. Ye Purusham Upasate. See the mantra. Ye Purusham Upasate. Hi Akamaha. Akamaha means people. Akamaha implies people of dispassion. People who are free from the hold of desires for time-bound material ends. People who are not interested anymore in the time-bound material ends. People who are dispassionate towards Arthakamas. People of dispassion are Akamaha. Kamaha yesham na te Akamaha. So people of dispassion, Akamaha, he indeed, ye Akamaha. Those people who are dispassionate towards time-bound material worldly ends, they purusham upasate. Purusha means what? Here the word purusha means a wise person, a jnani. Upasate means worship. If people worship a wise person, worship a jnani as dispassionate people, Akamaha, ye akamaha purusham upasate. Those people, or those dispassionate, mature individuals, people who worship ajnani. Worship ajnani means they also revere him, honor him. They bow to him. Such people, who are they? Te dhiraha. Ye upasate, ye Akamaha Purusham Upasate Te Dhiraha. I'm sure you all understood. Relative pronoun is used. Ke Dhiraha. Who are wise people? Ke Dhiraha. Ye. ஏ அகாமாக புருஷம் உபாசத்தே தே தீராக. Those people who worship, revere, respect, bow to a Mahatma, a Jnani. Those dispassionate people and aspiring for Jnanam and Moksha, who bow to or who worship Jnanis, those people are Dhiraha. Dhiraha. Dhiraha means what? Already I told you many times meaning of this word Dhiraha. You will be tired of listening to my explanation. Still I'll repeat today. Dhiraha means discriminative people. Dhiraha also means a wise person. See, the word Dhiraha has two meanings. One meaning is wise person. A Jnani is called Dhiraha. Then, otherwise, a mature individual who has yet to become a Jnani, who has discriminative understanding, who aspires for Jnanam, an intelligent person also is called Dhiraha. An intelligent, mature person who aspires for Jnanam is also called Dhiraha. The person who has attained Jnanam, a Jnani, is also called Dhiraha. Why? Because an intelligent, mature person who is aspiring for Jnanam, who seeks the grace of a Jnani or Bhagavan for the attainment of Jnanam, is called Dhiraha because he is a discriminative person. He is capable of protecting himself. Whereas a Jnani is the one who has already protected himself. The one who is capable of protecting himself, the one who has already protected himself, both are said to be Dhiraha. I told you this word has been derived like this. Dhiyam Rati iti Dhiraha. Dhihi means intellect. Rati means protects. Rati means Rakshati. Dhiyam Rati, Dhiyam Rakshati iti Dhiraha. Dhiyam Rati iti Dhiraha. The one who protects his intellect, protects his mind, the protector of the mind is said to be Dhiraha. The protector of the mind is the one who has protected his mind from fear. See, the one in whose mind the phenomenon called fear is resolved for good. The one in whom the phenomenon called fear is resolved for good. Thereby one who is absolutely free from the hold of fear. The one who is utterly fearless is the one who has protected his mind. See, protecting one's mind from the phenomenon called fear for good is absolute protection. There's no protection other than protecting one's mind from the phenomenon called fear. And how do they protect themselves from fear? Because they understand the immortality of the Atma. The fear is possible only if a person has fear of death. If a person becomes free from fear of death, then the phenomenon called fear will resolve for good. And how do they become free from fear of death? Because they know Atma, they know their own self is absolutely eternal, immortal. As long as people are ignorant of the self, when they mistake the body, mind and complex for the self, then they have a notion, strong notion that they are mortals. So human beings, as long as they're ignorant alone, having identity with anatma, body, mind and complex, they think they are mortals. But when they understand the fact, then when they objectify the anatma, distinguish the atma from the anatma, and then they discover that their essential nature, the content of I, is nothing but pure consciousness, atma, in the wake of clear vision of the Atma, when they say Aham Atma, Aham Brahma Asmi, when they have very clear understanding, then they do not entertain a wrong notion anymore. They do not have sense of mortality centered on I. When the sense of mortality centered on I is resolved, when they understand that I, the Atma, am of the nature of immortality, I, the Atma, am of the nature of eternity, I am beginningless, endless, changeless, immortal, indestructible consciousness, Atma, Brahma. When they clearly see what is subject to mortality, what is not subject to mortality, they understand. See, mortality means nothing but a change. The matter in this world is subject to mortality, means subject to change. See, mortality does not mean total destruction. Mortality implies subject to change. The change alone is said to be mortality. So death or mortality is nothing but a change. There are only two aspects, consciousness and the matter. And the matter is mithya, consciousness is satyam. And the matter is also consciousness, but consciousness is not the matter. And this matter alone is subject to change, constant change. Matter also is not created. Matter also is not destroyed. And matter, but matter also has no beginning. Matter also knows no death, no end. Matter has no beginning, no end. Matter also is indestructible, but matter is subject to change. Matter is constantly undergoing change from one form into another form. This constantly undergoing change from one form into another form on the part of matter alone is said to be death or mortality. Death is nothing but a change which happens on the part of the matter. So matter also is not created, not destroyed. Therefore, there's no such a thing called total destruction at all of anything. Okay, now what about consciousness? Consciousness, absolutely beginningless, endless, changeless. Consciousness is absolutely eternal, immortal, because consciousness is not even subject to change. And when they shift the wise people in the wake of clear vision of what Atma is, what Anatma is, and when they shift the identity from Anatma, body, mind, and complex to Atma, in the clear vision, they know they are essentially immortal Atma. When they understanding of the fact that I am immortal, eternal Atma, their fear of death becomes resolved for good. When they become free from the hold of fear of death, naturally they become people of fearlessness. Those people of fearlessness are said to be the people who have protected their minds, or who the protectors of the mind. Therefore, a jnani is called dhiraha because he has protected his mind. And here, an intelligent, mature person who is aspiring for jnanam also is going to have his mind protected. Therefore, he is also called dhiraha. Okay? In Mundakam, I am saying the word, meaning of the word dhiraha for the third time, I think. Anyway, I will not repeat next time. Finished. So here it means, here the dhiraha does not mean the protector of the mind, jnani, but the protector of the mind, a person who is aspiring for jnanam. Okay. So they are dhiraha. Mean they are going to, these are the people who bow to a jnani, ye purusham upasate, akamaha, with dispassion, they who go and worship and bow to a jnani, aspiring for jnanam, they are definitely protectors of the minds. They are dhiraha. And they have discriminative understanding. What is permanent, what is impermanent, they have that understanding. So they are no more interested in impermanent time-bound things. They are interested in everlasting, timeless moksha, happiness. Okay. They are mature people. Now, such people, what does the mantra say now? Te shukram etad ativartanti. So, ye akamaha purusham upasate, te dhiraha. Such intelligent people who protect themselves, what do they do? Etat shukram ativartanti. Etat shukram ativartanti. Te shukram etad ativartanti. Okay. Te shukram etad ativartanti means literally what is implied by this sentence. Te etad shukram ativartanti. Literally means they will become free from bondage of samsara. Te shukram etad ativartanti implies they will become free from the bondage of samsara. They will attain mokshaha as they wish. But how it is said here? They will attain videha muktihi. They will attain sadhya muktihi. They will attain jivan muktihi. Then they will attain videha muktihi, which means they will not be free, they will not be born again. They will not be born again, which means they will not be born in this world assuming another body. They will avoid punarjanma. And how they will avoid punarjanma means what? They will not be born again. That is what is said here. Shukram etat ativartanti. Okay, shukram means, please make a note, shukram here means sperm, male sperm. Purusha bijam. Shukram means male sperm, or purusha bijam. It is the male sperm which is responsible, which contributes for the birth of a child. So those who attain jnanam, those who attain jivan mukti and videha mukti, they will not assume the form of purusha bijam. They will not enter into the male body as a sperm. Because it is the purusha bijam, it is a human seed, it's a seed of a man, sperm of a man, which alone is responsible for the child's birth. So, instead of saying they will not be born again, this mantra says, it is the creative power. The Purusha Bijam, Shukram, is nothing but creative power in the male, which alone is responsible for the child's birth. Therefore, shukram, the word shukram should be correctly taken here as assumption of a body. Shukram ativartanti means, they transcend. Ativartanti means transcend. They give up. What do they transcend? They transcend rebirth, which means they transcend, they will not assume a body. They will not be born again. Shukram ativartanti means they will avoid assumption of a body. So they'll attain videha muktihi. This is the meaning. So now you can make a complete sentence. What does it mean? Yehi akamaha purusham upasate தே தீராக ஏதத் சுக்ரம் அதிவர்த்தந்தி மீன்ஸ் தோஸ் இன்டெலிஜென்ட் பீப்புள் ப்ரொடெக்டர்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி மைண்ட் தே வில் பிகம் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் தே வில் அவாய்ட் ரீபர்த் தே வில் அட்டைன் விதேக முக்தி. ஓகே, தட் இஸ் தி மீனிங். சோ நவ் தி எப்போஸ் தி க்வெஸ்சன் கேன் கம், இஸ் இட் பாசிபிள் ஃபார் Is it possible for any devotee or any spiritual aspirant to attain attain moksha? Is it possible for any spiritual aspirant, any jignyasu bhakta, to attain moksha simply by going and bowing to Mahatma? Is that easy? Suppose a Mahatma comes, a Jnani comes, we simply go and fall at his feet. I want moksha. I want Jnanam. Is it that easy? Is it possible to attain Jivan Mukti or Videha Mukti simply by falling at the feet of a Jnani? Any spiritual aspirant, can he attain moksha? Therefore, the answer is given. Please make a note. It is not enough simply merely by going and falling at the feet. Because falling at the feet of a guru is definitely, definitely, definitely a punya karma. No doubt. But merely worshipping the teacher or merely falling at the feet of a Mahatma Jnani itself will not liberate a person. I'm repeating it. I'm not giving the answer given in the mantra. The mantra itself gives an answer. If a person simply goes, merely goes and worships a Mahatma and falls at the feet, at his feet, and he prays for Jnanam, simply that itself will not liberate a person. So if a person as a spiritual aspirant aspiring for Jnanam, if he goes and bows to Mahatma, he worships Mahatma, then that Mahatma's blessing will lead him to the proper study of the Shastram. Proper study of the Shastram from a proper teacher. So that worshipping a Mahatma, tapping his grace, definitely must be followed by the discipline of Jnana Yoga, involving three steps: Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And when a person, by going through Shravanam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam, with the grace, the blessings of a Mahatma, one can attain Jnanam, and the Jnanam alone will liberate a person, because ignorance is the cause of bondage. Therefore, Jnanam alone will liberate a person. In always it is said, Jnanat eva mokshaha. Jnanat eva muktihi, Jnanat eva kaivalyam. Ajnanam is the cause of samsara, and Jnanam is the only means of attaining moksha. So falling at the feet of a Mahatma, bowing to him, worshipping him as a spiritual aspirant, definitely will bless a person to find a teacher, to become inclined for Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and be able to understand the teaching properly. Thereby, it will only contribute for the attainment of Jnanam through proper means of going through Jnana Yoga. So it's not merely worshipping a Mahatma will not liberate a person. But worshipping a Mahatma will not go waste. It will help him get the right teaching, right understanding, etc. of course, a Mahatma can, when I say Mahatma, a wise person, can bless any devotee even with fulfillment of worldly desires. A Mahatma, a wise person, can also bless a person with the attainment of jnanam. How? Not simply by, not by touching, only through teaching. Any Mahatma, Mahatma's grace can be conferred in the form of teaching also. So Mahatma can bless a person with the jnanam through proper teaching. Thereby he can enable a person attain moksha. Therefore, a wise person does play two roles. A wise person does play two roles. A wise person can play the role of a Bhagavan, Ishvara. He can bless the devotees who worship him with time-bound material ends. And the same Mahatma can play the role of a guru. Thereby he can communicate, he can teach the Shastram. He can help him attain jnanam. Thereby he can help him attain moksha. So Bhagavan, who is invoked in the temples or in our puja rooms, Bhagavan in the temples or worshipped, who is worshipped in puja rooms or temples, can only be a Bhagavan. He only plays the role of an Ishvara. Bhagavan who is worshipped in the temple and the puja room cannot play the role of a guru. That Bhagavan's grace can help you find, come across a teacher. So Jnani, a wise person, who lives his life in conformity with his vision is Acharya. Acharya, playing the role of a teacher, he communicate, he can teach the Shastram, thereby he can enable his disciple attain jnanam and discover moksha. If jnani is very great, then what is that jnanam the wise person have? What is it? What jnanam does he have? The jnani has the, not, the jnani may not know anything in this world. The jnani is the one who has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the essential nature of the whole jagat. Essential oneness of the reality. He has Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. So he is a person of Paravidya. Therefore, see the first line now. Saha Veda Etat Paramam Brahma Dhamma. That Jnani is the one, Saha Veda. Veda means no. Saha Veda Yetat. Jnani, a wise person, is the one who has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the absolute reality. Reality implied by the term Brahma, Paramam Brahma. He knows. Saha Yetat Veda means he knows the absolute reality, Paramam Brahma. And which is free from all limitations. And that Brahma, he understands at what? As the nearest self, Atma. Yetat means this. He understands that absolute reality, Paramam Brahma, obtaining as the nearest self, as the content of I. So this wise person is the one who knows that absolute reality, Paramam Brahma, Paramam Dhamma. Okay, Paramam Brahma means, Paramam means absolute. Why absolute? There's nothing beyond consciousness. The reality is in the form of consciousness, existence, And that absolute reality is nothing beyond consciousness, whereas consciousness is beyond everything. Consciousness is beyond everything. And nothing beyond consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the Paramam Brahma. The absolute abstract reality is Paramam Brahma, absolute. Why absolute? There's nothing beyond consciousness. Not only that, it is reality which is of the nature of limitlessness. Brahma, the greatest, biggest. And that Brahma is what? Dhamma. The word Dhamma has two meanings. Dhamma means abode. Dhamma means abode. Dhamma also means effulgence, light. So Dhamma means abode. Dhamma means light. And then this reality implied by the term Brahman is both light and abode. Why? Because Paramam Brahma, this absolute reality, Brahman, is of the nature of consciousness. Is consciousness is the absolute light. Absolute light is consciousness, which illumines even, which illumines all sources of light. Therefore, the Brahman is light of consciousness. And the Brahman is also abode. Also abode. Abode means what? The truth which lends existence is the absolute abode. See, water is the abode which lends existence to the form and name ocean. Gold is the abode which lends existence to the ornament. Similarly, Brahman, which is the light of consciousness, is the absolute abode in which the whole universe enjoys its existence. It is said here, in the word meaning, saha, that wise person knows this absolute reality, Brahman, obtaining as the nearest self, which is in the form of light of consciousness. And which is also an abode, yatra, where nihitam vishwam shubhram vishwam bhati. And yatra vishwam bhati. Nihitam vishwam. Nihitam means placed. Vishwam, the world, universe, shines. It is in this consciousness. Universe enjoys existence. Universe shines. The form and name ocean shines hidden in the water, placed in the water. Similarly, ornament, chain or bangle is placed in gold. Similarly, the whole universe, including time and space, the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, enjoys its existence in this light of consciousness, which is an abode of the whole. Therefore, it is said, Videha Muktihi, they grant it. Paramam Dhamma, Yatra Vinihitam Vishwam Bhati. Where does the whole Jagat shine? The world placed in that Brahman shines. And the Shubhram means pure, clean. Shubhram means pure. Is absolutely free from all doshas, all blemishes, all impurities, all sins, all karmas. Because the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, which is said to be the light of lights, and that consciousness is absolutely free from all impurities, all punya papams, all blemishes. Therefore, it is Shubhram, means pure, absolutely pure consciousness. So all these words mean what now? Now you can make out. This wise person knows that absolute reality, which is an abode, which is of the nature of, which is of nature of consciousness, which is in the form of light of consciousness, which is also an absolute abode in which the entire universe. So Shubhra means which is of the nature of absolute purity, in which alone Vishwam Nihitam Vishwam Bhati, the world placed shines. So Paramam Dhamma, Paramam, this Brahman is Paramam, Brahman is Dhamma, Brahman is Shubhram. Saha Yetad Veda, and he knows that Paramam Dhamma Shubhram Brahma, obtaining as the nearest self, in which alone Vishwam Nihitam Bhati, in which the world placed shines. Placed means what? Not placing him. Enjoys his existence. Okay. This is the meaning of the mantra. So, in Sanskritam we say, in the Guru Stotram comes, Bhukti Mukti Pradata Cha Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Guru is the one who can bestow bhukti. Bhukti means time bound material ends. Mukti means timeless, everlasting liberation, happiness. Guru can be the bestower of bhukti, bestower of mukti. Because Bhagavan can give bhukti and mukti. Bhukti stands for artha kama dharmas. Mukti stands for moksha. Bhagavan can bless both. Similarly, Guru also, wise person also can bless a person with the both, in keeping with what one aspires for. Okay. Next mantra. Now I'm sure you all have understood the word mantra very well. Savai savedaitat paramam brahma dhamma yatra vishvam nihitam bhati shubhram upasate purusham yehya kamaha te shukrame tad ativartanti dhiraha. Next mantra. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Sa kama bharjayate tatra tatra. Paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. Ihaivatar sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Sa kama bharjayate tatra tatra. Paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. Ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Sa kama bharjayate tatra tatra. Paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. Paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. Ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Kamanyah kamayate manyamanaha. Sa kama bharjayate tatra tatra. Paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. Ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Okay. Now, it's an interesting mantra. In the second mantra of this concluding section, what Upanishad says, unless and until you aspire for jnanam, you will remain definitely ignorant. Even if you aspire for jnanam, it will take it involves effort. one has to go through the discipline of jnana yoga to attain jnanam. One has to go through the discipline of jnana yoga means one must go through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam sequentially to attain jnanam. And even to attain jnanam, again one must become mentally qualified. One must have antakkarana shuddhi, antakkarana naishchalyam. Only then, if a person goes through karma yoga, he becomes mentally pure and steady. Then if he goes through jnana yoga, if he does shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, then as a spiritual aspirant, one who is aspiring for jnanam can attain jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. Suppose if a person does not aspire for jnanam, does not aspire for moksha, then of course, how can he attain moksha? Therefore, Upanishad makes it very clear in this mantra. What does it Upanishad want to make clear? See, mokshaha is definitely one's own choice. Moksha is a result of one's own choice. Which means Bhagavan cannot choose to give you moksha. Oh, he is my devotee. Let me give him moksha. No. That does not mean Bhagavan is not there. Okay. Bhagavan will never, never choose to give you moksha. We have to choose moksha as our end. We must understand moksha being our choiceless end. Then we must choose to aspire for moksha. Then we must make appropriate efforts. We must seek Bhagavan's grace to accomplish moksha. Then Bhagavan can only confer grace. But Bhagavan will never choose moksha for us. Which means moksha is not the result of Bhagavan's choice. Moksha is a result of one's own choice. Okay. Your mother can do. Okay, I have made it for you. Please take this. Your father can do. He can sometimes try to choose something for you. Not moksha. Certain things. Food they can choose to give you. Dress they can choose to give you. They can even try to choose a girl or a boy in marriage for children. Even then, you want your own choice. That is a different thing. But mokshaha definitely is not Bhagavan's, it's not a result of Bhagavan's choice. It is a result of our own choice. Okay? In fact, it is very beautifully discussed even in Brahma Sutras, where Vyasa Bhagavan says, definitely Ishvara does not choose, not only moksha, does not choose anything for any devotee. Bhagavan does not choose anything for any devotee. It is our choice. Artha is your choice. Kama is your choice. You know, everything is your choice. And you have to use your buddhi to, Bhagavan can only bless you. Bhagavan's grace will enable you accomplish your efforts, to fulfill your efforts, to fulfill your wishes. But Bhagavan will not wish for you. If you choose what you aspire for, then if you make appropriate, adequate efforts, then if you also seek Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's grace will bless you with the desired wish. Bhagavan's grace can only bless you with the result for the adequate, appropriate effort whoever makes. Therefore, please, it's a very important lesson. It is, what Shastram said, it is your own choice. Every human being is addressed by this Shastram. Oh, human being, it is your choice. your own choice determines, decides the direction of the journey of life. It is your own choice determines the direction of your journey of life. So Upanishad also states here, please, important lesson again. Your choice, it is your choice. What Upanishad states here, it is not merely your choice. It is not merely your desire. Please listen. It is not merely your choice. It is not merely your desire or wish. This which desires the direction of the journey of life only in this life. What Prince says, it is not merely your choice or desire or wish determine the direction of the journey of life only in this present life, in this current life. Okay, your choice, your desire, your wish determines the direction of the journey of life even after the death. It means life is a beginningless, endless cycle involving many, many births and deaths. If you choose something, if you have a choice, if you have your own choice or desire or wish, which determines the direction of the journey of life in this life, until death, even the same choice and desire and wish, which determines the direction of the journey of life, will continue even after death. Your decision, your desire, your choice, your wish, which directs your life, will continue even after the death. Which means the future life also, life after death, again being born, assuming another body, again being born, that life also is determined, okay, is determined by yourself, your own choice. Your choice determines your future life. Your future life is not determined. Your future life will not be determined at all by Bhagavan. Your future life also is determined by your choice, your wish, your decision. Therefore, you have your will, you have your choice, you have your desires, you have your willpower, you have your choice, the faculty of choice, you have your desires. And it is your will, it is your choice, it is your faculty of choice, it is your desires, wishes will determine your future. So we do understand every life has both pains and pleasures. Everyone has to go through life of pairs of opposites. The proportion may vary from person to person. More pleasure, less little pain, or more pain, are equally both pains and pleasures. Proportion may vary from person to person. Everyone has to go through the life of pairs of opposites, irrespective of what one has, one doesn't have. So it has always, life has been, you know, like that, which means throughout one's life, throughout one's life, Naturally, one has one struggles to fulfill one's desires. And then what happens? Some desires become fulfilled. Some desires do not become fulfilled. And some desires somehow are not very strong desires. Some desires are very strong desires. Therefore, and which means naturally human beings are helplessly highly influenced. Human beings are naturally helplessly highly influenced by their own present likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes in this life. So, what means human beings are, of course, influenced by the strong likes and dislikes in this life. But what Shastram says, your present life is not only influenced by the present likes and dislikes, your present life is also influenced by your likes and dislikes of the past vasanas. Whatever vasanas of likes and dislikes, etc., you had, whatever emotions you had in the previous life, the past vasanas of the past life also influence the present life. So, the present life is not merely influenced by only ragadveshas, likes and dislikes of current life, current likes and dislikes. The present life is also influenced by the past vasanas. So, we have our life, how we have our past vasanas, vasanas which we have knowingly, unknowingly accumulated in our previous lives. And we also have ragadveshas at present, the current ragadveshas. Then we have our willpower. Then we have our understanding. We have our knowledge. Okay, our understanding, our knowledge, our willpower, our faculty of choice. Our present strong likes and dislikes, and the past vasanas, all these things together determine the desires we have. The present desires, strong desires or weak desires, all types of desires we have are determined by many factors in terms of our understanding, our knowledge, our will, our ragadveshas, our present life, and past vasanas. Similarly, study of the Shastram also plays its role in influencing our desires. It means Shastra study also influences our wish, our desires. How can we say that? Only when we, because of some punyam, we become exposed to the study of the Shastram. And only when we study the Shastram with the Shraddha, we become exposed to our ignorance. Even Purushartha Nischaya comes only after being exposed to the study of the Shastram. Desire for moksha happens only after our commitment. Desire for moksha comes only when you understand the problem of samsara through study of the Shastram. Then the mumuksha, desire for moksha, desire for jnanam, respect for the Shastram, everything comes only when a person is exposed to study of the Shastram. Therefore, Shastram also influences our desire. Similarly, the people whom we associate with, they also become the influence our desires. Then our own knowledge, suppose the type of education we have also influences our desires, our likes and dislikes, and our own strong likes and dislikes, then our own ಜನ್ಮಾಂತರ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ವಾಸನಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅವರ್ ವಿಶಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೇ ದ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಈಸ್ ಒಬ್ಸೆಸ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಎವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅನ್ ಒಬ್ಸೆಸ್ಡ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಒಬ್ಸೆಸ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಸೀ ಎವ್ರಿ ಆಲ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಲ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಒಬ್ಸೆಸ್ಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇ ಡಿಫರ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಒಬ್ಸೆಷನ್ಸ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಒಬ್ಸೆಷನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ So it's very natural for anyone to have to be obsessed with certain things also. People don't tell, you're not obsessed with Vedanta study. No, when you become interested. But it's very natural. So it is the vasanas, desires, etc. which contribute for our desires and interests. Now, let me come to the point now. Why simply elaborate on these things? Very important to understand this. See, whatever a person thinks the whole life, and you will be thinking the same thing at the time of death, and what you think at the time of death, and accordingly your next janma will be determined. And to highlight, just to drive home this fact, just to make understand this fact, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an episode which states, you know, episode means there is a small story of a person called Jadabharataha. This Jadabharataha was very much committed to the study, very much interested in Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. He was highly spiritual inclined person, but still what happened, he in order to fulfill his wish of studying the Shastram, he went to the forest. But when he went to the forest, he happened to see one deer, Harinaha. Harinaha was in the pain, and the deer was about to give birth to another baby deer. Then, what happened? This baby mother deer, as it gave birth to the mother, when it gave birth to this baby deer, mother deer died. So the other baby deer was there. But this Jadabharataha, who went to the forest in search of the teacher to study the Shastram, having to come across this baby deer, he became highly, because already he was a soft nature person, he was highly compassionate. So he really took care of the baby deer. And he protected the deer for some time, and he must have known, okay, now I have raised the deer, now no more baby, it's grown up now, now I can leave it, let this deer go and live its deer's life. But he didn't leave. What happened? He took the responsibility of looking after the deer always, and he got very attached to the deer, like how any parent become attached to the child. Do your duties and then give them, leave them. No, but you hold on to them emotionally. Jadabharata got attached to this deer. Pujya Swami used to say, deer became dear, very dear to him. And finally, what happened? It is said, he got really obsessed, the deer. And he died. Even at time of death also, he was only considered, he was very considerate, and all his worry was only about the deer. Okay. I'm going to die. What will happen to the deer? Who will look after the deer, etc. Exactly like how the parents worry about the children, the grandparents worry about the grandchildren, great grandchildren. Jadabharata was worried about this deer. And Pujya Swamiji once told, the people who are married, they will be attached to their own family. People who are not married, especially who live sadhu life and their attachment will be shifted from and they want people to something else because they're not none to get attached to. So it's very easy for a person, you know, to get attached to something or the other. So that is why our Shastram decides better get married, have family. So you be attached and then grow out of attachment. Otherwise, what happens? If you don't get married, attachment will be shifted from your own family to something else. Again, you get stuck. There's no way of growing out of it. Therefore, at the time of death, he was thinking of Jadabharata, as a result of which, you know, and he himself, you know, even he had to continue his association with the deer even next life. Therefore, what Shastram wants, if a mature individual who is a spiritual aspirant, who knows, who has Purushartha Nischaya, who knows Moksha is the ultimate goal, and for whom the Jnanam is the only means of accomplishing the goal, naturally he will be aspiring only for Jnanam and Moksha. So whatever you think at the time of death, you will become, at the time of death, you are thinking of Jnanam and Moksha, then that samskara will continue next life also, next Janma also. This is very, very important lesson. Okay. So whatever desire a person entertains, a person has, that desire determines the future life of Jiva after his death. That is the fact. Okay. A wise person who is free from desires does not have any, who will not have any birth. He will be free from rebirth. Okay, this is the teaching of who will become wise person, who will be free from, who has jnanam, will be free from the holder of desires. Therefore, at the time of death, he won't be entertaining any desires and he will attain any rebirth, he attain moksha. He'll become one with Bhagavan. This is the teaching given in this mantra. Yah kaman kamayate. Now let us see the mantra. Yah kaman yah kamayate manyamanaha sa kama bhirjayate tatra tatra. So yaha kaman kamayate. So whichever person or whoever has any number of any desires in his mind, which desires for time bound worldly things in his mind. Okay, this is in his mind. Saha kama bihi jayate tatra tatra. That person will be born in a suitable atmosphere where he can fulfill those desires. Of course, if a person is exposed to Shastra study, and Shastra always tells, repeatedly tells, what is that? The except Atma Swarupa Jnanam. Whatever a person aspires for in this world, all the worldly, material, time-bound objects involve threefold defects. Okay? Because if you want to achieve anything in this life other than jnanam, anything and everything which is accomplished in this world involves experience of pain. There is a mixture. Everything is mixed with the pain. Any artha pursuit or kama pursuit is mixed with the pain. Any artha pursuit, kama pursuit a person accomplishes is mixed with the pain. There's no pursuit of artha or kama without, it is not mixed with the pain, strain and struggle. Then any artha pursuit, any kama pursuit will leave a, after accomplishing it, will leave a person still dissatisfied. Atriptihi, dukkham pain, struggle, strain is involved in the accomplishing any artha kama pursuit, then there will be artripti. Dissatisfaction will be there. Whatever you achieve in life, with the artha, whatever pleasure you enjoy in this life, whichever form you are pursuing, accumulate any artha, still there will be dissatisfaction. See, no, irrespective of how much and what a person accomplishes in life, in terms of artha kama, still there will be dissatisfaction. No accomplishment of anything in the world will bless a person with absolute satisfaction. Atriptihi will be there. It's the second defect. And the third defect is, doesn't matter what you achieve in life, what other than jnanam, whatever you accomplish in life, whatever you achieve in life, still that accomplishment will keep you bound, will retain you only in this world of bondage. It means, it is, everything is binding. Artha pursuit is binding. Kama pursuit is binding. Even dharma is binding. Everything in this world is binding, other than the jnanam. So jnanam alone will bless you with the pain-free everlasting happiness is possible. Pain-free everlasting happiness is possible only in jnanam. Absolute satisfaction is possible only in jnanam. Absolute freedom from bondage is possible only in jnanam. Whereas other than jnanam, whatever you pursue, whatever you accomplish in life, it is mixed with the pain. It will be dissatisfactory always. It will keep you bound. These three defects are there in accomplishing anything in all pursuits. So this is what Shastram repeatedly tells us. This warning is given by the Shastram. In spite of that, it's not that easy to overcome the desires for worldly things. Still a person has craving and longing and desire for time-bound things. Therefore, it is said, Yaha kaman kamayate, the person who has desires for things, not only for one's own self, but also for the other friends and family, etc. Okay. Naturally, yaha kaman kamayate, how manyamanaha means what? Always thinking of the objects of desires. The person who has desires for objects. Kaman kamayate means the person who desires objects. Okay. Always dwelling upon thinking of those objects. Manyamanaha yaha kaman kamayate. Always thinking of objects. The person who desires objects. Okay. Then saha tatra tatra. Kamabihi jayate. Such a person will be thinking of the same object at the time of death also. Thereby what happens? Kamabihi tatra tatra jayate. He will be born with such samskara. That person will be born with such vasanas and unfulfilled desires, because he dies with those unfulfilled desires, entertaining those desires, thinking of those desires. He'll be born with those desires. Kamabihi jayate. Okay, who? An indiscriminate person, an immature person, in spite of being warned by the Shastram, who still, in spite of knowing the defects of the time-bound ends, material ends, still who has desires for objects, and who's thinking of fulfilling the wishes for those objects, such a person, he'll be born, who dies with such desires, he'll be born with the same vasanas. In next Janma also, he is an indiscriminate person. Whereas, there are people who live their lives in conformity with the Vedic teaching, who live the Vedic way of life, enjoined by the Shastram, and being exposed to Shastra study, they have Purusharth Nischeha, they know the value of Jnanam. So they always aspire for Jnanam. And such people, and they live their life with total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam. Such people attain Jnanam. And such people who attain Jnanam are said to be Kritatmanaha. Now see the mantra. It will conclude soon. So, Kaman Manyamanaha Yaha Kamayate Saha Kamabihi Tatra Tatra Jayate. So, whoever is always thinking of objects of desire and who desires objects, such a person at the time of death will be thinking of the same and he'll be born with the same vasanas. Whereas, Paryapta Kamasya Kritatmanastu, the person who Paryapta Kamaha, who knows the limitations of worldly objects, thereby who has mastery over his desires, being exposed to Shastra study, and who aspiring for Jnanam, knowing the value of Jnanam, and who attain Jnanam and Moksha, that person is Kritatmanaha, Kritatmanaha. And he becomes Kritatmanaha means wise person. And those Kritatmanaha means such wise people who attain Jnanam, for them, Sarve kamaha ihayeva praliyante. All the desires of wise people resolve in this world itself, in this very life itself. Resolve for liyanti means resolve. Viliyanti also means resolve. Praviliyanti means they resolve all the desires of wise people. Resolve in this very life itself. Sarve kamaha ihayeva, in this very life itself, praviliyanti, become resolved for good. Which means wise people because wise people are the people who revel in the vision of fullness of happiness. Because they have jnanam, they know that in a swarupa being fullness, they are the people who revel in the vision of fullness of happiness. Therefore, they are free from inadequacy, they are free from needs, they are free from the hold of desires for good. Because paryapta kamaha, they got all their desires, wishes fulfilled. Kritatmanaha, they got all their people of accomplishment. The Atmak Jnanam blesses them with this full fullness. The vision of the fullness of happiness. They are the people who revel in the vision of fullness. They have the luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness. Therefore, they're absolutely free from the sense of inadequacy, needs and desires. Therefore, they do not have any desires. At the time of death, they're absolutely free from the hold of desires. Therefore, what happens? Sarve kamaha ihayeva praviliyanti. All desires resolve for good in this very life itself. Therefore, there is no need for them to be born again. They will attain jivan mukti, they attain videha mukti also. So, what is the benefit of Jnanam? Only if you attain Jnanam, it is possible for you to become absolutely free from the hold of desires. See, you can't give up the desires. Desires will naturally give you up. You can free yourself from the hold of desires if you have Jnanam. That's why Jnanam is the only means of having the desires result. Desirelessness is possible only in Jnanam. As long as Jnanam is there, as long as Jnanam does not become fulfilled, Yuvanam does not become ascertained. There will be desires. Okay. Once you have, there's no desire for any objects means, naturally there won't be, at the time of death also, as a jnani, will be a free-minded person. Therefore, he will not assume another body, he will not be born again. Wait, the mantra says, Kritatmanaha, Paryapta Kamaha, Kritatmanaha, for him, Sarve kamaha ihayeva praviliyanti. That pravi, two prefixes emphasis, absolutely all desires will resolve in this very life itself. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Okay, paryapta kamasya kritatmanastu, single it is sing. Paryapta kamaha. Kritatmanaha. Paryapta kamasya kritatmanaha. Sarve kamaha ifa ihayeva praviliyanti. So, a discriminate person, indiscriminate person, ajnani and ajnani. What happens at the time of death? That is what is beautifully said here in this mantra. Paryapta kamaha means the person who has got all his desires fulfilled as it were because of jnanam. He is free from all wrong notions about the self. He is free from doership and enjoyership. And kritatmanaha, the person of accomplishment. So, if you have jnanam, you can be a kritatmanaha. Kritatmanaha. You can be a paryaptakamaha. Then disease will resolve for good. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.